Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. We are a deep diving, scuba diving Grey's Anatomy podcast. We go through each episode with... We go into detail. I tried a new thing.
We deep dive every single episode. We started from season one, and now we're on season 12, episode five.
Welcome. I thought I would try a new thing, and it didn't work.
It didn't land.
We are currently in season 12, episode five, The Dinner Party. It's not what it's called, but...
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Yeah, and it's a big one. So as we talked about previously, sometimes we'll do multiple episodes. Sometimes we'll just do one. We felt that this one deserved its own episode from us. If getting weekly episodes is not enough for you and you want to support us and be our biggest cheerleaders, as well as get bonus episodes, access to our private Facebook group, and like Zoom hangouts and all these things, you can go to patreon.com/theoncallroom, where you can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. What did I say? You're giggling.
you just stuttered and I just giggled. One of the things you get for being a $10 patron is you get a post-op discussion. So after we hit...
Once we
call it, if you're on the Patreon app and you keep listening, you will hear us talk for 5 to 10 minutes about a different topic.
I'll take it from here. Today, we will be discussing Maggie and DeLuca and her STD scan. Is that what it's called?
STD panel? I don't know. I don't think it is called a panel.
I've never had one. Have you? I shouldn't put you on the spot.
I've had many.
You've lived a better life than me. Okay, anyways, I will not ask if either of us have had them. Moving on.
If you're a listener and you want to let us know if you've had an STD test and how it went for you,
let us know. Also,
you can call our Google Voice number.
Also, this is a shame-free hotline. Yeah. We are here to celebrate with you your many sexual adventures.
Honestly, it's a good thing to be getting tested. I mean, if you've only had... I hope all of you...
Destigmatize.
I hope you all are getting tested.
Yes.
Safe sex, everyone.
Yes. Lots of it. And so also another way to support us is following us on Instagram. Did you say that? At the On-Call Room Pod. And lastly, please leave us a 5-star, 5-scalpel review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the best way to get someone to want to press play.
Yes.
So I was talking to my mom. She texted us the other night. It was late at night, so I don't think you responded.
No, I did. Oh, you didn't respond till the morning. I responded that evening.
Okay, and then I sent... So what's our text?
It's called Gray's Discussion.
Okay. Yes, my mother... Oh, there it is. My mother and Bree and I have a group, and my mom said, I'm devastated, in all caps. I saw the end of season 6... Oh, no, that's George. Hang on. Oh, she goes, in all caps, in Kansas, on a farm, with Izzy and his children. Are you effing kidding me? Stupid, stupid, stupid story. And I then texted, or I woke up to a text from her that again was like, that she's still shook and like couldn't go on. And then she told me, she was like, I was like, how are you today? And she's like devastated. It was like 2 days later. She still couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, okay, now you can listen to the podcast, because that was the biggest spoiler that I feel like we had.
Yeah. She'd made it through most of them.
She is already, I mean, DeLuca, spoiler alert, DeLuca's already dead. She's almost done with the last season.
Well, and I feel like too, like we had talked about, like, I don't know. I feel like it would be harder maybe to like, for the Alex thing to like binge that and then him to leave. I don't know why. Like,
She loved him. It was by far her favorite character.
Oh.
And what was funny is she was like so sad. I was like, Mom, you've only known him since February. I was like, try knowing him since you're a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And another different take, I thought, so I'm talking to her about the COVID season, as we call it. And she loves it.
Interesting.
So I don't know if like we are so, I feel like they are so good the first few seasons, but I think we also put them up on a nostalgia pedestal that like nothing will ever reach. Mm-hmm. And I think for her, having binged it, seeing those old characters come back was just as good as them in like the earlier seasons.
Sure.
She loved it. She said she sobbed during like Maren Dare's like wedding thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a hot take, I think.
Yeah,
but
she's cried every episode. She's like, I can't stop crying.
I feel like there were a couple that I got like emotional at, but like mostly I just felt like it was kind of.
She didn't recognize George or Derek at first.
Well, Derek does not look like no. the Derek that we know.
I thought George looked the same, though.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I mean, a little bit older, but not like...
But I guess, like, she's literally only... She's not, like, seen a photo of him in real life since he was on Grey's in season 5. Because it's not like she... Oh. So I wonder if we, like, have seen old TR.
But I think we would still recognize him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been fun to hear her. She's just... She's very upset. Also, DeLuca was like one of her absolute favorites. And so she's also sad.
That's sad.
She doesn't yet know about Jackson and April, but she will probably by tonight. So we'll see. Because she also talks about Jackson's eyes all the time. And I'm like, oh, say goodbye to them.
She's probably like, where the fuck have all my characters gone? Like the rest of us feel, where have all my characters
exactly.
gone?
Exactly. So where have all the cowboys gone?
Do, do, do. Okay. So I have a story, some news.
Please tell that I don't know.
No, I almost texted you, but I didn't. Last night, so we had pest people coming today.
Love, shout out to Rose Pest Services.
Rose Pest, love them.
Oh, that's your foot. Sorry.
That's okay. Dave, okay. It's his name, is our guy.
Tall guy, like 50s.
Yeah, very tall.
Very tall, yes.
Well, and he sprayed for our wedding. And so when he got out of the car, he was like, how'd the wedding go? And I was like, why the fuck does this guy know about my wedding? I was like, oh, I've met you, Dave. You were here. I mean, it was like, yeah, it was great. But John and I also were watching Ted Lasso. We're late.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's so
I don't
good.
Have Apple TV. Neither do you, but John gets it for you.
It's so good. And John didn't like it at first. He was like, this is a little cheesy. And it is.
But in a heartwarming way.
Oh, it's so, yeah, it's so lovely. So we went to start an episode last night after our recording didn't go well, you and me. And he was like, oh, I gotta go change my laundry over. So I'm sitting on the couch. He goes to the basement and I just hear, wah! When, like, from the basement. And I thought, like, oh, fuck, our drain overflowed again, because that has happened, like, numerous times. So I was like, are you okay? I sat for a while, and then he came around the corner up from the basement, and he goes, we have a mouse. He walked into the basement, and there was a mouse that, like, greeted him at the bottom.
Alive?
Alive. That ran under the dryer.
Picturing him going, bleh!
Yeah, he was, I know he, like, hopped up, I'm sure. And then he, like, ran, like, under, like, towards, like, the wall, like, maybe and nestled in or something. And then I heard him, like, then he went back down there, and I heard him just, like, banging on things. And I was like, are you killing the mouse? And he's like, no, I'm trying to get it to come out. What are you doing? He's not going to come out and be, like, banging
no, he's very
shit.
Afraid.
And so I immediately called. We already had the pest people coming today. This is home ownership, everyone, and living in a 120-year-old home. So
set some traps for you.
Yeah. So I called them and I was like, yo, we got a mouse. I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was like when we had a bird in our house and I just kept going, oh, there was a bird in our house. Like,
but the bird you were empathizing for, the mouse, didn't you want it dead?
No, we had two birds in our house. The bird that died in our fireplace, which was very sad. Yeah. And then the bird that I had to get out of the kitchen.
Okay.
So that was different. Yeah. And that one, I was just like,
get out of my
get out of here. But so then they were like, okay, well, to add on like mouse things, it's this expensive. Or you could just do
the
yearly thing where we come every 4 months, we inspect your house, we do whatever.
That's what I have.
And I called John. I was like, let me check with my husband because, you know, whatever, marriage. And he was like, I am fine doing that. So now we have the yearly thing.
Welcome to the good life.
Yeah, where they come every 4 months.
Or if you just want them to.
If you see that something's going on, you just call them and they'll come out. So they sprayed our whole downstairs.
Yep.
They sprayed the basement. They sprayed the outside of the house. And then he set up 4 traps downstairs.
The best.
The good thing is he inspected the whole basement and he said there is not really any evidence of a mouse.
Like droppings. It was just a stray mouse.
So I think maybe we had the door open all day and there's a crack like in the screen.
I'm sure. They can get in anywhere.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that we don't have like a mouse problem.
No, you would know because we had one and it sounded like there were people living in my walls. And
oh, no.
I wasn't hearing it because I went to bed before Jake at the time. And then when I finally heard it, I was like, Jake, do you fucking hear that? And he goes, yeah, I've been hearing it for a few weeks. And I was like, what the? And he's like, yeah, I just hoped you wouldn't notice. I was like, ugh. And they were in our walls and our ceiling.
Well, so like a couple weeks ago, though, I was going to the bathroom in our little side, our side shitter off the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I heard it sounded like a in the walls. And I told the guy that, I told Dave that, and he was like, could be a mouse, could have been a chipmunk.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, we've had a lot of chipmunks this year. He was like,
I love these people.
Yeah. And he said something like, you know, usually when rodents find a way in, they find a way out. If they don't, might smell a few days. Nature's cruel. Mother Nature is cruel. I was like, okay, Dave. But he was like, you know, I was like, well, what do I do if a mouse, like, if I hear it or if I, like, it's like, well, it's different for each person. Like, we'll schedule in a couple weeks. We'll come back. We'll check the traps and we'll set up new ones, see where we need to go from there. He's like, but if, you know, some people like to pour their morning coffee, go check all the traps. I was like, I'm not that client, Dave. I will not be drinking my coffee, checking the mouse traps in the basement, sir. And then he was like, if you see one in there, you can
throw it away.
He was like, or if you really don't want to deal with it, he's like, you call us, we'll come out, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, Jake throws them away if we found them. Because you'll know you have a mice problem if those traps fill up within a day. Because he like set ours, and there were some, most of them were in the attic, so you wouldn't be able to hear those. But he set 14 in the attic, and then there was some under our sink, because that we'd seen one in the kitchen. And Jake and I, that night, it was like snap, 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 like all of the kitchen ones. And Jake has this thing where he would go, oh, George. Or he would just pick a name. He'd be like, oh, that's Reuben. And like, he would just like, I'd be like, Reuben. And then in the neck, they came like a week later and every trap in the attic was filled.
So they came every week
until now they don't fill up anymore. So there was like a town. It was right when we moved in. So I remember that.
Yeah.
And yeah. That was when the spiders overtook my home too. And I thought, burn it down.
Burn it.
Now I feel bad because my neighbors are so like, I think like very organic and like she doesn't use weed killer or anything. And I'm like, my house next to yours is a fucking chemical bubble. Yeah. Like I haven't seen a spider on my house in like 4 years.
Yeah. I started to see a couple outside again. That's why. Oh, but then that, you know, those springtail things.
What are those?
Well, they're the tiny little deck bugs. They have like little tiny antennas. They're not
earwigs?
No, they're so small. You can barely see them. But they were all over our deck.
And are they red?
No. And they like moisture. And so those really humid days. But then I was like, okay, fine. They can be on my deck. They don't bite. They're not a bother to humans. They like go away. But then I started seeing them in my kitchen by
the
sink.
Absolutely not.
And then in the bathroom upstairs.
Are they like little beetles, kind of?
Not even. I mean, like they almost look like fleas.
What are they called?
They're so tiny. Springtails, I think.
Okay.
And so Dave showed up, and that's why we had them.
Oh, I see.
That's why we had Dave come out again, was for the springtails. So I started.
Ooh, those are frightening.
So I started to say, oh, of course they're not here today, Dave. And I didn't even say springtails. He's like, let me guess, springtails. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, unfortunately, there's like nothing we can do about them because they're so small. He said spraying will help, but this grosses me out. I don't know why, but he was like, I was like, well, what about the ones in the house? I was like, they can be on the deck on a hot day, but I don't want them in my house. And he was like, they're probably coming in through your plumbing. Like they come out from under the toilet.
It's like that episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark where that ghost came out from.
And he was like, that's just like, he said a lot of houses have been having issues with that this summer because it's been so humid.
We have a lot of weird little drain moths, I think they're called. They're like those little, it's not great. I noticed them in the bathroom. I'm like, where'd you come from?
I hate bugs.
I know. Also, we should have had like a trigger warning if you're afraid of bugs like me. I will, one of the things I'll say on this too is that I love talking with the pest people because I think when I'm afraid of something, I like to learn as much as I can about it and like how I can defend myself.
Yeah.
The amount of conversations I had with Mark, our old guy, about stink bugs, he finally was like, I can't do anything about them. And I was like, please. But I just love discussing things like that with them.
Why can't they do anything about stink bugs?
They don't respond to any pesticide. That's why they're such a fucking nightmare.
Oh, that's why they're like dinosaur cockroaches.
And that's why they're like, they kill farms, like a lot of crops, because there's literally nothing that can fight them. Except this, well, because they came from, I believe I'm correct in this, they came from Asia, and there is a Asian wasp. It's like very small. They are the only, I wouldn't say enemy, but there's
predator.
A, yes, the enemies of the stink bugs. And so, because the stink bugs came over from Asia, like on shipment carriers. Yeah. And so, there's been scientists that have wanted to bring that bug here to the States to like control the stink bug population. But then it's like, what is
what
that
are you
going to
introduce?
Yeah. So
it's killer, big, huge wasps or
yeah,
whatever.
Which I guess is. I'd rather have stink bugs. Blah.
I know. But it's just like,
what are
it
you
makes
most
you
afraid
feel
of?
Really spiders.
Okay.
I'm most afraid of spiders. Yeah.
What about that one you had as a pet sort of?
Well, that was the only spider I had an emotional connection with. I don't know why. It was like Charlotte's Web. But June knew the rules. Like, we had a discussion that, like, she was not to come near me.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think it was because someone carried her out, like, pretty much what would be a trek across the country.
And she came back?
That night, she was back. Like, she crawled up the post back to her home.
She was the same?
She was the same fucking spider. I mean, it was that night. Like, I watched her. Aww. I watched her make the trek. And I was like,
you didn't help her.
I was like, okay, this is your home.
You literally just did the, wait, what's the, not the great dust barrel. What's
the Grapes of Wrath?
Yeah. What are they? The dust bowl.
Yeah.
When they had to travel.
Yes.
That's what she did.
That's what she did.
Wow. I am so intelligent.
To make it back home. But it just like makes you feel, I was like in a state of panic last night. Like, okay. Also, John and I have been watching a ton of Hoarders.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Then there was a mouse in our house and I was like, we're Hoarders. Hoarders. We're Hoarders. And he was like, no, it's just like, I was like, how big was it? And it was like tiny.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so it wasn't a rat. He was like, no, it wasn't a rat. It was a mouse. But there was a dead rat in our alleyway.
I remember that.
I don't know. I just,
we watched Hoarders last night too.
It's so good.
Did you watch the episode? I think it's like second. It's on the Netflix Hoarders. Cindy, her name is. She had like thousands of cars. It was like a lot, like. And,
yes.
And basically she
didn't
do anything. And at yes. the end, it was like, Cindy did not take aftercare. Cindy does not yes. speak to her children.
Did you see the one where they had that beautiful old home and the woman like died by suicide in the basement? And so
yes.
she
the
like,
sons had to go down there then.
Yeah. And then like, she just filled up that whole house. It's yeah. really sad.
Yeah. I just, Cindy, every time she said, well, we gotta talk to the appraisers. We gotta get that money. We gotta get any money. I was like, shut up.
You're not gonna get any money, Cindy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I don't think they should air the ones where no help. Like, I like seeing a before and after, and that one was like, we did nothing.
It's always really sad. Like, I like when there's a before after, like, oh, they can live in their home, and then you're like, they accepted aftercare and they haven't started hoarding again. And like,
yeah. So many of them are like,
but it's so sad when they're like, this house is condemned because it's yeah. like so. There's so many rodents and like
yeah.
feces. And anyway, that's how I felt. And then you just feel like dirty when you're like, I have a, and then I'm like, am I going to get a disease because there's a mouse in my house? Because John was like, get Marge. And I was like, I'm not allowing her to
go. Oh, you wouldn't
out.
Let her kill it?
Well, no, I was like, what if she gets a disease and she gets sick?
Mm, she'd be fine. She'd just have fun with that mouse. Can you imagine her? She'd be like,
I don't think Marge is a killer. But John disagrees because in her apartment,
she killed
a bat. Yeah.
I bet you Marge would be like, fuck yeah, let me at it.
Yeah.
Our friend Jilly, shout out, has a cat. She has many cats, but one of them is like definitely a killer. So if she lives in Honduras. So if she sees like a big bug or something, she'll just pick up that cat and put it right in front of it and it just like kills it.
Wow.
I was like, okay, I'll take a cat.
I feel like Marge would not do that. I feel like she'd be like kind of intrigued like, and then be like, where's my wet food? I would rather.
Yeah.
I would rather my Friskies. Thank yeah. you so much.
Okay, wow.
So that's where we're at. I mean, that's. I feel like that's true home ownership, that every 4 months I'm going to have someone inspect my home for pests, you know? I just don't want to deal with it.
No. And when the bill comes, it's not even that much. It's like 300 something for the whole year.
Well, probably went up since...
No, I have mouse.
No, I mean the...
Oh, inflation.
Yeah.
Should have gotten a discount originally.
I think we did. Also, I feel like we should just get a discount in general because and we should have done this in the beginning, because we've had them out 4 times.
Mm, yeah.
To spray and stuff.
Mark should have told you about that year. Well, though you were probably like, nah, we don't need it.
And then we see a mouse and I was like, all the pests come out, please. And, but the one thing we really need is not included because it's special is bats. And you have to call in. And that is very expensive.
Do you have bats?
We don't have bats anymore, but our previous owners did. And so there's probably like a hole that needs to be patched in the attic.
Yeah, they don't do bats anymore.
And we have guano up there that we have to get cleaned. And that's really expensive because it's super hazardous. So like...
You could... Yeah.
I think we got a quote... And there's bat season. So you're only allowed to fuck with bats during a certain...
Oh.
And so it's open season right now. It started July 15th.
Meaning you can fuck with them?
Yeah. Like you can like do stuff to like get rid of them or whatever, but you can't... like there's a certain time of year that like you
when
can't...
When they're hibernating? And
I don't know.
Babies?
Yeah, I think so. Because I don't know if they're endangered or...
I don't know. They're swooping all about my house.
Yeah.
I really... That's... I've been... As you all know, if you listen to the podcast, I have been in a bat situation.
Yeah.
And I don't wish to ever have one again. It was just erratic.
Oh my God. Our friend texted me the other night, yesterday when I was telling her about the mouse. She was like, did I tell you that there was a baby bat in my window screen? And I was like, no. And she sends me this photo and I go, and I show John and he went, oh, that's not a baby bat. That is a full grown bat.
They're small.
And so I texted her that and she's like, oh my God, that makes me want to throw up. But I guess like she like heard this noise and her window was up and she went to go to bed and pulled it down. And she was like face to face. It was like in the screen and the pane. To this bat. And like Mia, her cat, came and ran up and like stood guard all night. And then the like exterminator person came and like let it go the next day. But she said her cat did not leave the window. Like it just stared at this bat.
Oh, that's
and it was just like hanging.
When I would be like, thank you, cat.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Ugh. McCoy would do nothing. When we had a shrew in our bit, they always are stupid. They're not like mice because they're not smart and they can't see.
Yeah.
So they go in our basement stairs and then they get stuck at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And they just like fuck around on there. McCoy, I have a video back when he had 4 legs and he was like going down and put his nose to it and it would squeak and then he'd be like, fucking, and like back up the stairs. It was Jake has in an ambulance shown up and had to get rid of a shrew. Cause I gotta do laundry. It always happens when I gotta do laundry.
I get it. I wouldn't want to. What, how does he get rid of it?
He gets a bucket and like uses we have like those leaf picker upper
yeah.
hand things and he just puts it in a bucket.
I couldn't do it.
And then he doesn't walk it that far away. But
then it comes back again.
Yeah, just lets it go.
Anyway, this is now a pest podcast.
Yeah, oh my God. That was like, honestly, 20 minutes.
Well, you're welcome, everyone.
Let's take a break and then we'll jump into Grey's Anatomy.
Sounds good.
Welcome back. We are talking about season 12, episode 5, which is called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? And dun, dun, dun.
There's no monologue.
I didn't even notice it until I saw you wrote that.
Yeah, it was one of my notes. I was like, because it's so eerie how it starts that
yeah,
usually there was no music. There was no voiceover. It was just like knock at the door. Yeah. So.
Shotgun workup. We just have Maggie Pierce with a urinary tract infection.
Yeah. Okay, so rounds. Remember, again, we are going to talk about Maggie and DeLuca in post-op, but we'll touch on it when we go through rounds. So first one, we have Penny shows up to Meredith's house, and she is Callie's date. Meredith and Penny recognize each other, but Meredith welcomes them in. She is distracted and disoriented, and Alex picks up on this. She retreats to her bathroom and tries not to puke, knowing that she has to maintain her cool because everyone is in the house. Meredith makes it to dinner where everyone is trying to figure out who Penny is. She discloses she's a doctor and Bailey recognizes who she is. She's a new resident transferring to Grace Sloan Memorial and she is rematched, which obviously is where everyone works. So Meredith ends up breaking the news that Perfect Penny killed her husband.
We also have Amelia, who's being super nice to Penny at first. She welcomes her in, hugs her, encourages her to stay when Callie is called back to the hospital. It isn't until it is revealed at the dinner that Penny was Derek's doctor that she loses her shit. She demands Penny tell her everything about that night and asks, did he say anything to you before you killed him? She ends up in Meredith's room and reams out Meredith for letting Penny into the house and not telling Amelia who she was. Mare freaks out and demands Amelia leaves before she kills her. Amelia retreats to her room with Owen, where they have a very... Oh God, I just messed something up. Where they have a very dark conversation about Owen not being perfect as well and being relieved for a split second when he heard of the plane crash because he thought Christina was dead. Rightly written, oof.
That was tough. Krev is concerned with Meredith the whole time, and so he leaves Joe alone to fend for herself with all of his friends. When they find out who Penny is, he sits in Meredith's room with her, and Meredith insists that he can leave and she'll be fine, and he asks what she will do if he leaves, and she gestures to the tequila that Krev has brought, so they begin to take turns pulling from the bottle.
Joe and Steph are still in a fight at the beginning of the dinner party. Steph watches Joe pushed around by the attendings as she drags trash outside. Joe ends up apologizing to Steph, saying, saying she realized she was telling the truth about her childhood illness. It looks like things are mended until Joe compares herself to Steph, showcasing how far each of them have come. Joe says she gets it now, why Steph is the way she is, because she was a sick child. Steph hits back and argues that maybe she is just better at this than Joe, and she is frustrated that Joe needs a reason for why Steph has an edge on her. They leave the party pretty much where they started.
Arizona is very drunk at the party. She makes a lot of jokes about Penny being a pretty penny, and she ends up really liking her. She even at one point says that she thinks she should date her, and she engages with her throughout the night. Either she really does like her or she has served herself too much white wine. And perhaps it's too much white wine because she throws some shade towards April for her difficulties with Jackson.
Jackson shows up to the dinner party and runs into April as she is leaving the bathroom. April's pretty frustrated that she doesn't even know where Jackson is staying. He doesn't want to do this at a dinner party, but lets her know that he has been staying with Ben and Bailey. April ends up making the entire dinner with some mad cooking skills since no one can figure out what to do with the ingredients. And after the big penny blowout, Jackson helps April with dishes. He tells her it was a delicious meal, and April talks about how you have to live with the choices you've made, clearly a metaphor for her relationship with Jackson.
And then finally, Maggie is missing this whole dinner party because she can't stop peeing and is being punished with a UTI. She heads to the hospital to get an STD testing and is greated by her doctor, which is, of course, DeLuca. She is mortified and demands another doctor. DeLuca ends up informing her she has a UTI and she needs to drink cranberry juice and take some medication. They spend time talking and he lets her know that she can ask him anything she wants and tells her it's unfair that she labeled him as a slut when he didn't do that to her.
And we will talk more about that in post-op.
Yes, we will.
Just a reminder. First notes.
My first note was, oh, Mare immediately says, Penny, it's a pleasure. Won't you come in?
Yeah, Isis said she immediately attempts to be normal.
Yes.
Which... like, I guess I get, but ooh.
Yeah. One thing I want to say before we, like, kind of go into the rounds is I notice I have a bunch of notes saying, like, this is very eerie. There's
no music.
Yeah,
let's talk about the episode as a whole.
Yeah, there's no monologue. And there ends up only being one moment in this episode where there's a song that's actually played. And it's, like, TLC or something, a cover of that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But otherwise, there is no music in this episode.
I also... so there's like a deep heartbeat sound in the background that like gets faster. And to me, I mean, to me, it was like such a perfect representation of what a panic attack looks like, mm-hmm. because I feel that's what happens to Meredith, especially in the beginning. And like, as someone who like has like experienced that where it feels like it's this like closing, that heartbeat sound, because mm-hmm. you like, you know, you like start to hear your own heartbeat
in your brain,
in your brain. Yeah. Like I felt like that was such an... it was totally out of the norm, but I feel like this was such a good episode. Like, it made sense for them to do this one differently versus, like, sometimes when they do, like, the documentary episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this felt like they had to show how heavy it was.
Yeah, I felt like it was, like you said, like, it really depicts, like, what it feels like to be in a situation where you feel completely trapped, both in, like, physical space and inside your own body.
Yeah. And when she went to, like, throw up but couldn't.
Yeah.
And, like, and just, like, having to, like, put on that face and walk out.
Or, like, even asking, like, can I get you something to drink? And then
forgetting,
not doing it. Or, like, just blending that margarita forever and ever and ever and
making
ever.
Making that eye contact with her, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a moment. Okay. So, I don't... the obvious answer, I feel like, is Meredith. But, and I'm not trying to, like, not be an anti-Meredith. But, like, it was one of those episodes, too, where I tried to, like, empathize a little bit with Penny. And I was like, who do I feel worse for? I literally don't know.
Yeah.
Like, the way that they attacked her. Like once Meredith said that this was Perfect Penny who killed my husband, was like, I don't know that anyone deserves that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, especially you think about all the times I'm like playing my own self devil's advocate. You know, like all the times I'm on the show that one of them has made a mistake and a patient has died and it sticks with them forever, or well, an intern.
April kind of brings that up in the episode. Like, this did happen to me. I lost my job. Remember, I didn't check the airway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I missed that part. But yeah, and like none of them would have treated that person the way, but it's because it was personal.
Right.
It like took on a whole nother level. But I found myself in this time, unlike when Penny fucked up in the way she like needed Meredith to make the situation better for her, I didn't really feel that she did that as much. It, like, but
there was a moment where she's like, can we talk? And she's like, no, we cannot. Like, I'm having a dinner party.
Oh, yeah. And Meredith goes like, you will not small talk with me. You will talk with anyone else and we will get through this. Yeah.
Ooh. I think the one thing that frustrated me about Penny was, like, you know, Callie says, like, well, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, I tried to. And she's like, when? And she was like, earlier tonight.
Yeah, I was like, no, tell me this right away.
But then it was like, okay, well, has Callie told Penny all of, like, her terrible losses in her job? Probably not. But what frustrates me is we find out that Penny has been matched at Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital. For her to be like, it's a big hospital. I didn't know if you knew him. He's this huge neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
Like, and they're all heads of surgery. Right. Like, obviously, if you did a little bit of research, you would know that everyone knows each other. And so I feel like that's a very annoying excuse. And like, so I'm not saying that like she should have been treated that way, but why?
She shouldn't have gotten a job there.
No, but I do wonder, I guess, from my understanding though, I don't think you have a choice with matching, but she should have never chosen that.
She shouldn't have applied.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it just was like, I just kept watching this being like, I'm glad this isn't real and I'm glad I'm not Penny. And then like how scary it is when it gets switched and Amelia is sitting next to her. And she like, cause you're like, oh shit, she's sitting by Amelia. And then when she's like, that was my brother. Like,
yeah,
it's like a second ball drop. Also it's all cause of Bailey who going like, oh, Penelope Blake. Yeah. I know your name.
Yes. And I mean, cause I wonder, they probably would have made it through that dinner without ever having to talk about
and
that.
Monday would have been rough.
Monday would have been terrible.
Overall, did you like that the episode, besides the Maggie scenes, which we'll talk about, it fully contained itself in the dinner party?
I did.
Me too.
I think it was a fun, it was definitely not a fun episode by any means, but like a different thing that Grace doesn't do very often. And I love how all of the characters, besides Richard,
he's working.
Of course.
Someone had to be there.
Are in like this one space. And, you know, we just get like different scenes in each part of the house with them.
I really liked, it reminded me of like back in the day when they would do like the fishing episode or, you know, like,
yeah,
which I guess there was sometimes at a hospital, but I do like when it's a quality episode and they take us out of the hospital.
Yeah. And to see them relate to each other, not as but as friends and people like gathering around a table together.
How, if you know, Alex is always eating.
Yeah. Also, too, yeah, like he's trying to order tacos because there's like no food. I find it very funny though. Okay, do we feel like Meredith is the type of person who would want to throw a dinner party?
No, I don't know how that happened.
I thought that was very interesting.
Was it because they all moved in together and like...
Maybe, sure. But then also to not... Like, my biggest anxiety in life is throwing a party and not having a plan for like when shit's gonna get on the table. When we did Christmas Eve at my house this past year, I had a written out schedule of like, and at this time you put the potatoes in,
mm-hmm.
and this is when we start the kielbasa. Like, if you're going to be preparing food for a bunch of people and have more than one dish, like, you have to have a fucking plan.
Yeah.
And for them not even to know, like, what, and how did April just like know how to cook?
Well, clearly that she had to come up with food because they didn't have Manchego cheese.
Yeah.
Which I was like, really? You have to have Manchego? That's Spanish cheese that is expensive. Also, I bet that intern, forget what his name is, was just like, why the fuck am I here? Once that started, like, so at first he was so excited when he pulled up the like
little horse. Oh my horse God, the chair. Rocking horse.
Yeah, and like he cannot read a room. That like they don't, he shouldn't be there. But also they shouldn't have had him going. Do you think Joe was trying to do like a power move and was like, well, they're ordering me around, so I'm gonna order.
Maybe, but I think also she just knows that he would do it.
Yeah,
because he's like, do we think that Joe like recognizes yet that like that he's in love with her, that intern?
Oh, or do we think she's, he is?
Or do, well, yeah, that's why he's like helping her out. Like he wants to be there.
I don't know.
Or do you think she's still like quite oblivious?
I think she's oblivious. She's too focused on Alex and ignoring her, which like, when is she going to just understand that that's Alex is Mare's person?
Yeah.
Okay. One other thing about the episode as a whole too, I want to say is that one of my first notes is wishing Christina was there because I feel like Christina is someone that Meredith would have pulled aside and been like, that's Penny. That's the woman that, because she would have already told Christina about Penny, I feel like. And so there was a part of me that missed that. And I wish Burke was there because he would have cooked.
Oh my God, Burke would have cooked.
Would have been like the Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, Burke and Izzy would have cooked together.
Oh yeah. See, oh, I love that. And Christina would just go get booze.
Go get booze. Yeah, and get drunk. Yeah. Oh, I wish they would have been there too. And then, yeah.
I like miss them.
Christina would have definitely been like drinking with Mare and Krev at the end there.
Yeah. And she would have somehow gotten Penny out of there.
And there was that moment where Meredith almost told Krev what was going on, but someone like busted into
the
room.
I had a note about that. She was about to say something. Penny is. And then I think it was like Arizona. It's like, oh, incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like bust in with that. What was like your favorite, like, of the rounds? Like, what, like, for me, the drunk Arizona was a highlight.
Drunk Arizona was definitely a highlight. I thought she was really funny. I just felt like there was a lot of things that came together in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the Jackson and April storyline, like, at that end little conversation, like, kind of gave some insight into what April is feeling. I mean, we kind of known what she's feeling, but kind of telling Jackson in a metaphorical way. Like the Joe and Seth thing I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. At first I was like, this has ended way too easily.
Yeah, because they're always butting each other's, you know, at each other's heads. At each other's heads? Butting
throats,
heads?
At each other's throats.
And then butting heads. They're always butting heads. And I thought that was a really interesting. I was like, oh, we're apologizing and everything's fine. And then they're just not again. I just don't think they're very good friends.
No. Also, Joe, of the two people, Joe is obnoxious in some ways.
Yes.
Like, so oblivious. And, like, I feel like Stephanie, there was many times where I was like, yes, yes. Like, I feel like she is really sure of who she is. Mm-hmm. And even, like, seeing her confidently talking to Jackson, you know, like, and just, like, and, like, kind of brushing Joe off at first, I was like, what Joe did was really hurtful, which is why at first I was surprised that she forgave her that easily. I was like, that was it. And then clearly not. I don't know if her speech about like, maybe I'm just better than you was, I don't know how I feel about that, but I do know that I feel that Joe's thing of being like, oh, we're both ruined. It's like, don't say that about someone. That's not your place to put that on someone.
Absolutely. Yeah. What was your favorite?
Definitely just drunk Arizona. Like how she goes from being so nervous to meet Penny that she has to drink to then maybe I should date a Penny. Callie picked a pretty Penny.
Yes.
And she just like, even the way that it kind of ties into that then that Bailey like was like, wow, a drunk Robbins. I like this.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Bailey's just like a silent observer sometimes. I don't know. I feel like there was a lot of humor. Like Arizona provided the humor in this episode.
I really like Karev too in this.
He's noticing. Just,
yeah, he notices from the beginning that something's up with Meredith.
He says, you're smiling a lot.
Yeah. It's just like, she's like, I'm throwing a dinner party, you know? This is what you do. But I really liked how attentive he was. It does suck that he's not attentive to Joe. I mean, like, he's like, I want you there. These are all my friends. Like, I'm going to include you. But I mean, Meredith is clearly going through a crisis in this moment. So, I mean, yeah, it sucks. But like, I would feel, I mean, Joe kind of bothers me, but I know I would feel really out of place and frustrated.
Oh, yeah. Which like part of me was like, then just don't go. But I guess she's doing it for Alex. In the same sense, I didn't understand how Penny didn't just leave.
Yeah, there were too many.
I was like, Penny, fucking go.
Yeah, there were too many, especially when Callie left. There were plenty of moments for her, I feel like, to slip out of there.
And even after the explosion, she's just fucking wandering.
Why was she
around
in the fucking bathroom?
I don't know.
She was like, I've called a cab. It's like, you called a cab like hours ago, it feels like. Callie's been looking for you everywhere.
Okay, I have a statement on that. Callie is standing out, just standing outside. Is it Owen that comes up and she's like, have you seen Penny? And she doesn't move. She's not looking. She's just standing.
Also, I thought Callie was like really interesting in this episode.
I know.
Because she's obviously torn because she really likes Penny, but like these are her family and friends. And that part where Amelia is like freaking out on her and Callie does the that's enough and slams her hand on the table. It reminds me of the Family Stone that dinner where the dad screams, that's enough to Sarah Jessica Parker. Great, great, great movie if you've never seen it.
I watched it once and made me cry so hard that I've never watched it again.
I watch it every Christmas.
I know, but it makes me, I remember it putting me in a very, like,
It's a really sad Christmas movie.
That's enough scene too. I just felt like she does such a good job of having that shaky, like, and I felt the same way too. I was like, everybody stop yelling.
Yeah.
But it is confusing for her because, and she even, like, you think at first that she's just going to, like, forgive Penny. But when she goes out there and she's like, how could you not tell? Like, she is just still, like, so in shock. And also, when you think back, like, Derek and her were really close at that time. That's when they were doing the trial with the, like, the brain robot arms.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just...
Did we talk about...
We're just all over the place, well, which I love.
But did we talk about her checking on Mare?
Oh, and Mare shuts the door with her foot?
Yeah, like, how are you doing? And she's like, fine or whatever.
Just slams shuts the door
with her foot.
Which is sad. I mean, like, but I get it. She's like, I don't have the emotional space for you right now. Meredith is good at boundaries.
Or shutting people out. Is it okay, boundaries or shutting people out?
She's good at shutting people out.
Should we talk about Mare and Amelia?
Yeah. Okay, does Amelia have a brain tumor at this time? I guess that doesn't matter.
I can't remember.
For me, I think that Amelia and Meredith are two very different people.
Mm-hmm.
So how they respond to things is just so super different. I also think Amelia, again, we have to remember, did not get the closure of seeing her brother.
Right.
So her experience of that is only through Meredith. Like, no one else has, she's never talked to a doctor. So I feel like the, like, doctor in her kicks in a little bit and is like, what the fuck happened?
Mm-hmm.
Even though she knows. I did feel like she was really intense,
mm-hmm.
but also that's kind of how she is.
Yeah. And like grief, you know, grief,
yeah, like it's all different.
Yeah. I just like, it was weird. Like, I don't think it was fair for her to get mad at Meredith mm-mm. for not telling her. Like, Meredith was just trying to fucking cope and deal in that moment. Why would she pull Amelia aside and be like...
Right, by the way.
Well, and I'm sure she was trying to protect Amelia, too.
And Amelia would go off if that happened.
Yeah, so, like, I don't think that was really fair. So, but then Meredith's response of, like... I mean, I get it where she's like, I lost my husband, like, the love of my life, the father to my children, and then screaming to pretty much get the fuck out of my... or get her out of my room before I kill her. Was like, whoa, Meredith, you took it to another level.
I think it was like her response for that was because she kept saying like, how could you do this to me? And, you know, she said, I did nothing to you. I lost my husband, whatever. And I liked that Owen re-emphasized to Amelia, like, no one's doing anything to mm-hmm. you, because I feel like she jumped into this, like, this is all happening to me. And while she's experiencing it, I think she's like in that moment of emotions, forgetting that it's happening to everyone around her also.
Yeah.
I
also thought it was, like, important for Meredith to say, like, she ends up saying that she doesn't get to fall apart because she has three kids. And, like, kind of saying that to Amelia, like, you get to kind of, like, be out of control right now, you know, but, like, Meredith doesn't get to ever be in that space because she has three kids she has to take care of.
Also, where are her children?
Always, where are they?
Arizona and Callie are there.
Yep.
April and Jackson are there.
Bailey's there. Ben's at the hospital, probably. So where's Tuck?
Where is Meredith's children? Because Amelia's there. Maggie's not watching them.
Nope.
So that's literally all.
All the people who watch, unless they have a, unless they're sleeping.
But not with all
but
that.
But with all that ruckus. Did you also, random note, notice there was a bathroom under the stairwell? April comes out of it.
Oh.
And so does Penny. I'm like, where did this bathroom come from?
I picture the front door scenes, which we get a lot of in that show.
Yeah.
It is your...
It's my entryway.
Right. Like, that's why I think more that... Well, and because your home is a community home.
Yeah.
But I feel like that entryway specifically is why I always think of... It's a little not in the right orientation, but...
Yeah.
Something about it just makes me... The storm door, the big old wooden door.
Although,
can you imagine if in the scenes, Derek had to, like, wrench the door open? Because yours does not open easily.
I can't imagine. It would be very sexy of him.
Oh, I loved... Okay, so let's talk about Owen really fast. So he's at the hospital and he sees Callie and she's like, are you going to change? Right. And he was like, no. I was like, ooh, Owen in a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Very risk, like, I don't know, whatever. And then I laughed when they got there and they walk in, you know, after Meredith already said that statement. And Owen says something like, wait, what's going on, whatever? And Arizona goes, wait for it. Because she's drunk. And then Owen does a thing. He's like, when they're all yelling, he's like, whoa, whoa, everyone. Oops. And I was like, he's trying to control the situation.
Of course he is. I don't remember hearing the part with...
Wait for it.
Yeah. Okay, so should we talk about Owen's thing?
Yeah.
Who wrote that?
That speech felt not helpful to her. And also just like, why are we calling back to that?
It was just like... Like, you couldn't think of any other thing that makes you not perfect. It had to be that you were relieved that your wife died because you couldn't take her leaving you any other way. That's fucked up.
And then that Amelia, like, snuggles into him. Like,
yeah, also, I was like, I don't think I've ever snuggled like that. Like, I would have hugged or put my, like, in, but I thought probably for camera purposes, like, that was, like, the best way to, like,
show.
But I just was like, who would be like, and twist and turn and fall back into a cuddle? Like, that was very odd.
Yeah, that was fucked up that he said that.
It was super, like, okay, right? It was very fucked up.
Also, it's one thing to, like, think that. It's another thing to tell someone you thought that.
I feel like you should be only telling that to your therapist.
I was just going to say that.
And working through that with your therapist. Like, not this person that you're starting to maybe kind of date, being like, I was just relieved that she died.
My ego was so big that I couldn't be left.
Yeah, and so I would rather she die in a plane crash and we could live in memory.
Yes, that, like, was the part, like, living in time is that. My note is, Owen felt relieved that Christina died in a plane crash. Whoa.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, and then I go, then they laugh? This is a fucked up conversation.
I don't know why it bothered me so much that he was like, so I'm not perfect, Amelia. Do you see? It was like, dude.
Yeah.
Stop being so aggressive about everything you say.
It was really intense.
Also, that should be a goddamn red flag, Amelia. She definitely has a brain tumor. Like, you should go running in the other direction.
She just leans into it.
Can you imagine if Jake looked at you and was like, yeah, my ex got in a car accident and for a second I thought she was dead. And I was like, for a moment I was relieved. You'd be like, it's been really nice hanging out with you, but.
It's weird.
What else?
Also, it was sad too that Amelia was like, did he say anything to you before you killed him?
I know.
Because also, Penny fucked up. She did not kill him.
No, I mean, by her choices, she did, because she didn't fight for the CT.
But that's what's shitty too, is that we remember in those scenes, the head of neuro there did not listen to her. And, like, yes, she didn't fight for it.
Right.
But also she was below the head of neuro. So it's just, like, a sad thing altogether.
Right. And, I mean, I think Meredith was and is, I mean, we'll talk about the end of the episode, but, like, earlier in the episode, or, like, season when Derek died, I think, like, Meredith had the capacity to understand, like, this is what happens. Like, this is your one. Like, right. Meredith has had one, but, like, having to entertain that person, that one in her home, is a whole different thing.
Yes.
You know? And I think kind of that's what everyone was feeling, was like, that this is my brother. This is our friend. This is our coworker.
That's a really good point.
It's not just like, you know, yeah, all of those doctors, I'm sure. And like I said, April brought up, like, I did that. I fucked up. But it's so much different when there's so much emotion tied into, like, this person that you knew and you cared about. And you're looking face to face with the person.
In your home.
Yeah, who made the wrong choice.
Ugh, yeah.
And you've been cordial with them all night and talking them up and pouring them wine. And, like, you would feel really betrayed
in
that moment.
That's a really good point. Ugh, I'm just thinking about, like just thinking about Derek in that home. And as much as I'm not a Derek lover all of the time, I am ultimately, like, for her. And, like, just thinking about him being in that home with her and then to have to look at that person, that would be incredibly painful.
Well, it's just so sad, too, that she, like, she pulls that picture away in the beginning, Meredith does. And part of me wondered, like, does she wonder if Penny remembers who she is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And then it becomes very clear that she does remember who she is. But I just thought that was interesting, too, that she took that picture and brought it upstairs with her and Derek and I think Zola.
And she looks at the post-it.
I know. It's so sad.
It is really sad. What do you think the show would have been if Derek would have never been a douchebag and wanted to leave? And
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that we
would they have had more turmoil and then
probably and like separation and back and
together.
Forth. Yeah.
I would have liked that.
Yeah. It would have gotten old. Or maybe they would have just been like a really strong couple.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
We need those on television.
Yeah.
I also thought, and you already mentioned this, but the part about Meredith saying to Alex, now she's a person.
Yes.
Like that to me is just like, she was an idea and a memory and a thing, but now she's a real human and that changes everything.
It does.
What you were just saying. Also two things about Alex and Mary drinking tequila. One, I have a note that the way he looks at her is just like so lovely. Like just, it's like, I feel like sometimes friends, like, now I feel weird about making eye contact with you, but like eye contact is a really intimate thing. And I feel like the way he's drinking and like looking at her and they're not talking,
mm-hmm.
but they're okay being in silence is just like the sign of such a good friend. And I really feel like he gets her.
Yeah.
Because he's twisted. He's a twisted sister.
Yeah, he is. He is.
And they make the tequila faces when they drink, which I also appreciate because sometimes they slam it and don't even make a face. But the first one, they both made like a really good tequila face. And it made me think of when I made you take a shot of tequila with me last weekend.
Yeah, the other night. Ugh. Ugh. You were like, so we ran out of ice to make a margarita. So you just want a shot instead.
It was fun.
But you brought out like the Maldine, like, huge salt flakes.
I think
that was the worst part for me.
I liked the worst.
I just wanted table salt. That's all I wanted.
I was trying to be fancy.
It's fine.
I'm trying to see if we have any other thoughts on... Okay, so let's talk about real quick, maybe Penny. It's like kind of towards the end. Penny's conversation with Meredith at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I'm like, why the fuck are you still there? And she says to Meredith, I want you to know that I didn't forget about him. I never will. I think about that night about him every day, which again is like, okay, so do I. I feel like, but then I was surprised, even though I knew this was going to happen, that Meredith says, I'll see you Monday. Don't be late.
And yeah.
I don't remember how it goes from here. Clearly she's not on the show for long. So
no, part of me, I understand where Penny was coming from too. Like wanting to like make sure Meredith knows that like this, she took what she said to heart. Like this person, what this loss was very important to her. But also again, like Penny kind of making it about herself again. Like, just like Penny could have very easily in that moment been like, I am so sorry that like I entered your home or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. But yeah, Meredith stepping outside of herself. Also, but to like, Penny being down there and being like, I'm sorry. I didn't know you weren't. It's her fucking house. Penny, what are you doing?
It's been an hour.
Get away. Go away. But yeah, I thought that was a really interesting end to the episode of I'll See You Monday. Don't be late.
Yeah. So then, okay. So this must be Callie's last season.
Yeah. Cause the custody battles this season. Which I'm not looking forward to.
Especially because, like, I liked how Arizona's, like, happy. She's like, Kelly looks happy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sad that it's all going to go downhill real fast.
Yeah.
But it's because she wants to move, right?
She wants to move with Penny.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to take
Sophia. Spoiler alert. Does she end up with Penny? They move there?
They do move, yeah.
But then isn't there that thing where, like, at the end of whatever season Arizona leaves where she goes to New York, but is Penny not in the picture then?
Probably not. Maybe okay. not. Maybe they broke up.
So sad. Other than that, I just would say, I feel like the only thing we didn't really hit on is the April and Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Thing, which I appreciate that in the beginning when April's trying to talk and Jackson's like, do you want to do this now? Or can we just be at a party? Because like, yeah. there is a time and a place for conversations.
And clearly at a dinner party is not no. the time to be talking about that.
Right. But
yeah. And I mean, I thought it was kind of sweet when Jackson was like, you like made a delicious meal or whatever. There was one random, I think it was April or I don't know who it was, Joe, maybe, where they were like, Chief, you can sit right here. And she was like, where do you think I was going to sit?
At that, Joe says it, yeah, at the head of the table.
Where do you think I was going to?
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah. I have like notes all throughout, like, God, this is a horror movie. The most awkward. How eerie. The tension is so high. There was also flashbacks in this episode to the night that Derek died.
When she's in the hospital. In the elevator.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm, so sad.
Yep.
All right. Do we have any final notes?
I do not, other than our post-op, which we'll talk about. If you are a patron and you want to hear us talk about Maggie and DeLuca, the best, one of the my favorite parts of this episode.
Yeah. Okay. You want to do notes and trivia?
Sure. I'll start. This episode's title originated from the song Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, originally sung by Black Uru.
This episode scored 8.96 million viewers.
The table read for this episode took place on September 2nd, 2015.
The episode contains Jessica Capshaw's favorite scene of the season so far, which what's the scene?
This is the first episode of the season which doesn't feature a voiceover.
The episode can be considered a bottle episode. What's that?
I don't know. The peridium Maggie took was actually M&M's. Nice.
Oh, interesting. In Amelia's bedroom, there's a picture of her and Charlotte on the cabinet. It's actually a behind-the-scenes picture from Private Practice.
I like that.
Yeah.
This is the first episode to not feature a carpool scene since they started that tradition in Walking Tall.
As confirmed by the character's Twitter account, Richard was working during the dinner party.
What do you think his tweet was? What? Hey, guys, I'm working. Won't be there tonight. Curiously, in this episode, Meredith seems to blame Penny for killing Derek, yet on the day of his death, she told Penny she knew Penny had done the best she could.
April mentions she still thinks about and prays for Kathy Becker and her family.
Oh, I don't doubt that she does also.
Yeah.
This episode was submitted for 2 nomination ballots for the 68th Emmy Awards, directing and single camera picture editing.
Goof. The opening scene of the episode repeats last episode's ending scene, but at the end of next episode, Meredith and Penny stared at each other longer in silence while they recognized each other. Whereas in this episode, Meredith almost immediately asked them to come in. Last episode, the pause was long enough for Callie to show and say that she brought wine. But in this episode, Callie doesn't mention or show the wine as she's almost immediately entering the house.
I don't think it's a goof. I think it's just a directorial choice.
Whatever.
Here's another goof. Meredith states she moved back into her house about a year and a half ago. Well, it's in fact only been a year. She didn't move back until after she returned to Seattle.
Goof. The flashback to How to Save a Life has Penny's closed caption dialogue showing as, we're not a trauma center or a teaching hospital, but the dialogue can be heard as, we're not a trauma center, we're a teaching hospital. Additionally, as a resident working at Dillard, proves that the hospital was a teaching hospital prior to its closure.
That does actually change things.
Yeah, it really does.
Goof. April Kepner mentions that she made a mistake as a second-year resident that killed a patient. However, Kepner was a third-year resident at the time. How the fuck do they mess that up?
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Can't, like, it would...
The writer was like, I don't want to look at it.
Shoots Bram's probably second-year. Goof. Arizona Robbins is seen in the last episode getting up while finishing off her wine, and the shot then focuses on Meredith. But in this episode, Arizona finishes off her wine, then gets up.
She just drinks all
the wine.
She's
just been drinking a lot. That's fine.
You talk about Catherine Fox.
Okay, so for Catherine Fox Award, I said maybe Alex for hanging with Meredith and just, like, checking in on her all day and, like, knowing what's up, you know? But I was like, maybe April. She saved dinner. There wouldn't have been a dinner party without April.
Maybe that would have been better.
But then I was like, DeLuca for being chill about UTIs.
I feel like it's hard because we didn't talk about DeLuca. So I want to give Alex it for the episode, but DeLuca it for the post-op.
Perfect.
Because I really do think DeLuca...
He was so chill.
...thrived.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
And we both rated it 8 out of 10 scalpels.
8 out of 10.
It's definitely an iconic episode.
Yes, and there's a lot of tension and emotions. And I just felt like there was too much, little nitty gritty stuff to like do another episode. Like it just wouldn't translate into a whole other story.
No. It's a bottle episode, whatever the fuck that
means. Wait, I'm going to tell you what a bottle episode is because I can click on this Wikipedia and I'm going to tell you that a bottle episode is produced cheaply and restricted in scope to use for a few non-regular cast members, effects, and sets as possible. Bottle episodes are usually shot on sets built for other episodes, frequently the main interior sets for a series, and consist largely of dialogue and scenes for which no special preparations are needed. This is interesting. They are commonly used when one script has fallen through and another has to be written at a short notice, or because of budgetary constraints.
Interesting. So it might not have been their choice to do this originally. Like it might have been mixed in with something else.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do too.
I'd like more bottle episodes, but not like the Jackson and Montana one.
Oh, God, no, making sandwiches.
I want them in a carpool driving for 4 hours.
To Montana.
That would be better.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you for tuning in. Again, if you are a patron listening on the Patreon app, you will get our post-op. Otherwise, you can always become one and listen back to any of the post-ops. So just like you can get a whole backlog of them.
Yes.
Time of death is 1640.
50.
Beep.